It's hard to believe it's been a year since we've been here. It seems like just yesterday our first service in this place was this service on Christmas Eve. And the Lord has blessed us immensely these 365 days. This evening we're talking about the names that Isaiah mentioned there in Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah gave us a prophecy of Jesus. Isaiah wrote his book about 2,700 years ago and about 700 years before the birth of our Savior. And Isaiah tells us in his prophecy that the Savior who would come and deliver God's people has four names. And all through the month, as we've celebrated Advent, we've looked at each one of those names. We talked about the wonderful counselor we have in Christ and the mighty God that Christ is and the everlasting Father. And then tonight, on this very special evening, we're focused on that final enthronement name, the name Prince of Peace. When Isaiah wrote about the Prince of Peace, he and his people were experiencing anything but peace. There was no peace in Isaiah's world. And over the course of the last several Lord's days, we've thought about the context of this promise that Isaiah gives. It was given in a context of war. The Assyrians were taking down the northern kingdom of Israel. It wouldn't be too long that the Babylonians would come and destroy the southern kingdom of Judah. And Isaiah is writing in a time of war. There are powers fighting over territory, fighting over this little insignificant land called Judah. And there was no peace, and there was no hope of peace. And yet here in this passage, Isaiah says there is one coming who will be not just one who brings peace, but he is the Prince of Peace. As I was thinking about what we would discuss this evening together on this special evening, I thought of the fact that very little has changed in the last thousands of years. Our world is a world that is much like that of Isaiah. We're in distress. As we gather here tonight, we can't help but think about all the places in this world where there is conflict. We read the headlines, and they always seem to flash this news of the latest war, the latest squabble among nations, or the latest threat to the globe, or some act of terror, or what happened last night here in the South, a disaster. And there are families that are gathering this evening, planning funerals, not celebrating Christmas Eve, because storms blew through and took lives. As we survey the landscape, we could confess with Isaiah, there's not much peace to be found. As we look outside, we don't see peace. And then what's even more disturbing, this incredible reality that we'll all confess if we're honest, there's very little peace inside in our hearts. How many of us have come tonight with fear in your heart, or disharmony in family relations, or anxiety? Maybe the anxieties that we face today are at a level unprecedented in human history. Sleepless nights, terror-filled nights. And the idea of lasting peace seems like a sleepy dream that will never materialize. And yet, to us too, the prophet Isaiah has a message that has not been diminished all these years, a message that is true, and that is the Prince of Peace has come. But what does it mean when we say that the name of Jesus is the Prince of Peace? What does it mean? Well, to first consider that, we need to hear some other prophets. We need to listen to this prophet. But one of his fellow prophets who came after him, Ezekiel, listen to what Isaiah said later, and what Ezekiel said later about this Prince of Peace. In the prophecy that we are reading tonight and focused on Isaiah, in the 54th chapter, Isaiah says this about the Prince of Peace. The mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but the Lord says, my steadfast love will not depart from you, and my covenant of peace will not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God has made a promise of peace to this world. And despite what we see and despite what we experience in our souls, even tonight, there is a covenant of peace. There is a promise of peace that's been sounded now for millennia. Ezekiel, who came after Isaiah, spoke very mysteriously about this Prince of Peace. Listen to what he said. God is talking. He says, "I will set up over them, over my people, one shepherd, my servant David." Now, David had been dead for hundreds of years. And Ezekiel says, "I'm going to," quoting God, "set up one shepherd over them, and it will be my servant David. And he will feed them, and he will be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. And I will make with them a covenant of peace." Peace. And a prince. Again from Ezekiel 37, "My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and I will make a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting covenant, and I will build my sanctuary among them and be there to dwell with them." The Prince of Peace is who he's talking about. That's the Christmas promise. The promise of Christmas is a promise of a prince and a prince of peace. Think about what you know about Jesus. You know about his birth. You know that his birth was announced by angels. And isn't it something that when the angels announced the arrival of the incarnate God, here is what they said: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," say it with me, "peace, peace." And then we began to trace the earthly ministry of Jesus. You know the Gospels well. Think of those Gospel stories about Jesus. Think of these. Think of that sinful woman who anointed the feet of Jesus with very costly perfume and then applied it with her hair, wiping down the feet of Jesus. A notoriously sinful woman, a woman that most of us would not want to be in proximity to. And Jesus looked up at her, and here was his message. He said to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Prince of Peace, a covenant of peace. And into her world of turmoil and sin and rebellion against God, she met the Prince of Peace, and his message to her was, "Go in peace." And there was another woman, a very pitiful woman, if you saw her. She had been sick for 12 years, a very humbling kind of illness. She's the one that reached up and just touched the very hem of the garment of Jesus, and Jesus turned around and saw her, and he said to this woman who had been sick for over a decade, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The Prince of Peace spoke to her. And then maybe you're thinking about the time that Jesus was on that body of water we know so well, the Sea of Galilee. And like so often, a storm swept down from the heights and took the disciples by surprise, and they were scared to death. And Jesus is aroused from his slumber, and he stands out on the bow of the boat, as it were, and his words to the storm were these: "Peace, be still." And you know what happened? At his command, those waves dropped down flat as a pancake. The Prince of Peace spoke to the storm, and there was peace. Maybe you're thinking about those incredible words of John 14. The last words that Jesus would speak to his disciples before he went to the place of crucifixion. And he says to them these words, and think of them now in a new context. He said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He gives peace. And then think, if you will, about that same episode, a chapter or two later in chapter 16 of John. Again, in that same context, Jesus said these words, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." Let me paraphrase that. In the world, you will have terrorist attacks. In the world, you will have wars and rumors of wars. In the world, you will have relational turmoil. In the world, you will have dictators rising and falling and conquering and being conquered. In the world, you will have natural disasters. In the world, there will be stress and anxiety and fear. In the world, you have all of that. But take heart, Jesus says, "I, the Prince of Peace, have overcome the world." The Prince of Peace. The man of Galilee, whose birth we celebrate tonight, was the Prince of Peace. And the peace he gives is a lasting peace. He gives it to the world, and he gives it to our sin-ravaged hearts by faith. Peace, you see, is not first a condition. It's not first a thing. It's not first a commodity. In the Bible, peace is a person. Peace was embodied on that night our Lord Jesus was born. The Prince of Peace was born. If you have him, you have peace. I want you to think about the ways that Jesus has given us peace. And if you know him tonight, here are the ways you have peace in him. Very quickly, think of these ways. We have peace with him and God only because he made it that way. In him alone, we have peace with God. We are not born into this world at peace with God. Now think about that. Every baby born except one has been born the enemy of God. And I know what I'm talking about. And I say that because I have brought into this world, or my wife has, three children that we love, and three grandchildren that are perfect. But every one of them born an enemy of God. And just let that rest on you for a moment. There are no natural born children of God. We're enemies. And peace is not our natural environment. You see, we rebelled in the Garden of Eden, and we voted against God, and we ran from him, and we thumbed our nose at him, and we sinned against him. And every child born since then has been born a hostile child when it comes to God. And so if peace is ever going to come, it must be given. Someone else must achieve it. Listen to these words that you know well. All of us who've been justified by faith now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace has given sinners peace. And through him, Paul says, he reconciles all things to himself, making peace. Listen to this. This may be the most offensive thing you've ever heard on a Christmas Eve. Made peace, Paul says, by the blood of his cross. How did he make peace? Through the blood of his cross. He was a real man who died a real death on a real cross to atone for the sins of real sinners like you and me. He made peace by the shedding of his blood. And that message brings us life. But let me warn you, that message offends the world. That is what we know as the offense of the gospel. But without the shedding of Christ's blood, without his death, there would be no peace with God. And aren't you glad the Prince of Peace came and he went to the cross for you and for me? And then think of this. It is through him alone that we have peace within our own hearts. When Christ saved us, the scripture says, the God of hope filled us with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we abound in hope. That's why Jesus said, in the world you have all kinds of trouble, but in me you have peace. And there are people in this congregation tonight that are being greatly tribulated. Some are facing illness that just seems to have no end and no solution. And some have just buried loved ones. Some sitting here this evening have just buried loved ones. Or lost your job. Or some other calamity. But you know Christ. And you have peace because you have Him. And you have it in the world. Oh, the world is a troubled place, but in Christ alone there is peace. And this is a church of peace because Jesus has given us peace. We have peace even in the world. And we can go to bed tonight and close our eyes, and we know the sovereign God reigns. He rules, and He keeps us in peace. Even if disaster strikes, we have peace in the world, in our hearts. But also in Christ, we have peace with each other, peace with ourselves. There is, as Paul says, a goal now for those of us who know Christ. He says, we aim for restoration. We comfort one another. We agree with one another. We live in peace with one another. And the God of love and peace brings us together. We have peace with one another here in Christ. We don't all agree about everything. We may vote different ways. We may dress differently. We live in different parts of the neighborhood. We work in different places. We have different opinions on things and different views of things. But you know what we have in common? The peace of Christ. We know Christ. We have peace with one another. Even though we're so diverse, we have peace in the gospel, peace in Christ. And only Jesus can give that. Only the Prince of Peace can give that. And then finally, as I suggested earlier, we leave tonight with peace that guards us. If we know Christ, then this promise is ours. The peace that passes all understanding, that comes only from Christ, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's as if God has stationed peace warriors around every heart. Your heart and your mind is being guarded by God and by the Prince of Peace. And no matter what happens in your eyesight, the Prince of Peace has spoken His peace into your heart. And that peace guards you, and you don't have to be afraid. But there's more. There's one final thing to remember. Isaiah spoke of the Prince of Peace who would come, and He would reign on David's throne forever. And that causes us to look forward. There's something coming. We have peace now. This is the table of peace. We're going to celebrate it in just a moment. And we have peace now, but there's a greater peace coming because the Prince of Peace came. There will be, according to His promise, a new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. There will be, according to the Apostle John, a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared like a bride for her husband. And from that city will come this voice, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God." In that new city, the New Jerusalem, there will be no tears. And there will be no death, and there will be no sorrow, and there will be no anxiety and fear and depression and frustration and any sin you could name. All the things that have robbed our peace will be gone. Just peace forever because the Prince of Peace came to a manger for you. We have all of that in Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul gives us the word of application. And he says this to you and to me: since this is true, since we are waiting on these things, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. The Prince of Peace has come. It's His birthday tomorrow, and we praise His name, and we thank Him for the gift He gave. Would you pray with me?